This is Tony, K2AMI. I've been sort of temporarily appointed as a net control tonight for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association TechNet. So while I've been a net, so I'll probably fumble pretty badly. But Noel also will be along shortly, and he will help take it over. The TechNet is a net run by the Bergen Amateur Radio Association for the exchange of information, both ham radio or technical information. Anything of professional nature that relates to ham radio equipment. If you are out there and like to be listening, auditing and like to answer or enter some questions, stand by. I don't usually run a separate list of calls, but I'm going to ask for check-ins at this time, and I'm going to do it my way, and that's, are there any K2s out there? Please come now with your call.
This is K2ZO.
Jim, anybody else with a K call?
K2ZC.
All right, Dave. Charlie, anybody else? K2 calls. Got K2ZO, K2ZC. That's Jim and Dave. Anybody else out there who would like to check in has a K call? Okay. How about W calls? Any W calls? Patients with a W call. WA, WB. Plain W. Please come now with your call. Clunkers on there, but anybody with audio, please come now.
KC2ORX to K2AMI.
One KC2ORX. Thank you very much, Rob. Can you hang around a little bit, Rob?
Yeah, I'm standing by for you. And what's the weather going to be like Saturday?
Okay, stand by. We'll have some comments. All right, how about N calls? Anybody with an N call, please come now.
K2BAR, this is N2OEL.
N2OEL. Very good, Noel. For the first N call and the fourth check-in. Would you like to continue, or shall I continue for the check-ins?
Well, I got everybody checked in so far. It came in just as you were starting.
Okay, then if you will, guys will excuse me, I'm going to turn the moderator's job over to Noel, who has done it a couple of times already. But I'd like, before I turn it over for those stations listening, if you do have email, you might check and find that we have sent out this afternoon an email canceling our effort on the VHF contest up on the mountaintop. Long-range forecast for rain for Saturday and for Sunday, and even possible thunderstorms sometime during that period. And the VHF contest is not a contest you can do wet or excited with lightning. So we are not going to do the contest out on the mountain this weekend. We'll be doing it. We'll be running a limited operation from my basement here. And anybody else who can find VHF stations on the air and enter a log would be appreciated. And then send them up to Phil Barber, who will compile in the logs. If you are going to log in, pick up a log. Remember, our official call name for Barra is the Bergen ARA. So head your log as an entry from the Bergen ARA as a club affiliation and your own call sign, and we'll hopefully get a number of affiliated members in the club. All right, so we'll turn it over to Noel, and I'll stand by for any of the check-ins. Noel, add me to the bottom of the list here. I'm K2AMI, okay?
I put you at the top of the list.
Okay, I'll take that spot too. So I've just had my dissertation, so you can pick it up and pick it up with Jim.
Thank you. Is there anybody else with, let's see, we did K, we did N. Anybody with W call?
W2JEK, Don, with a comment.
Hey, Don, anybody else?
This is KC2EYV. No questions or comments.
Okay, Richard. Anybody else who hasn't checked in yet? Come now. KC2CHD. No questions or comments. David Harrell. Excuse me, my hearing's a little bit off. Is it T as in Tom, H as in Harry, D as in dog? Roger that. Kilo Charlie 2, Tango Hotel Delta. David Harrell. No questions or comments. Harold, anybody else? the only one that has a comment is Don. Does anybody else have a comment? Now's the time to tell me.
I have a question some information I'm looking for. This is K2Z.
Hey, anybody else? Okay, since it's our normal procedure, start at the top of the list. Jim, you're the first one. K2Z, this is K2BR.
Okay, K2BAR, this is K2ZO. What I'm trying to do, and I'm actually helping a group of people who managed to get a number of Motorola headsets, and they play these baseball games, and they have these small radios, these Unidens and Icons and things like that, and apparently somebody managed to find a whole bunch of these real neat Motorola headsets, and they asked me if I could help them interface them to these other radios. Headsets have a have two prongs on them, and they're tip and ring. No tip ring sleeve, but tip and ring. And of course, they are designed to plug in a Motorola radios. What I'm trying to get is the schematic of how they do that, because obviously you've got a push to talk coming in on there, and you've also got the audio for the earphone. And you've got the audio for the microphone, yet all you have is two tip and ring. All right, so they're sharing something there. And I know that Icon does it, and I know that Kenwood does it, and they do it differently. And Uniden does it also. I don't know if they use any other standard. But what I'm trying to do is figure out where I can find those schematics of those things that I can figure out if I can make this headset work. I'm sure I can, but it'd be nice if I could get the schematic. Go ahead.
I do not know myself.
B2JEK.
Go, Don.
Tim, if you have one of these sets, I would think you've got it, you got two tip and rings, so you got a push to talk, a ground, an audio out from the radio into the receiver, and an audio from the transmitter into the back to the radio. That's the four functions you need. So, I don't know if you could buzz a thing out, maybe figure out which is your receiver, and figure out which is the push-to-talk line. Probably they all work against the common one is the ground. So you could do that if you have one of these sets in your hand, over.
Yeah, well, I did have one. It was very confusing because I did find when I hit the push-to-talk, what happened, I saw a change in resistance. On one of these things, but remember now, it's not three, okay? You've got two positions and then two positions with a tip and ring, but yet you get the audio, both receive and also transmit. Plus, somehow you're doing the push to talk across there. And I know Icom does it. I know Icom is different than Kenwood, and. I could probably find the Kenwood info. I think I've got one. But I can't figure out what this one's doing. This is a Motorola. And I just wonder if somebody might have that schematic of that thing. I think what they're doing is they're coupling the audio with a capacitor and then using that same line as a push-to-talk.
Did you say there's only two wires going back and forth, not three?
No, there's on the plug, it's a tip and a sleeve, a tip or ring or whatever you want to call it. But if you think about that, you need two for the audio, two for the receive audio, mic audio, and then the receive audio, and then you need something for the push to talk. So somewhere they're sharing something.
Total number of wires is three then? Stereo plug?
It's not the type of plug.
How many wires do you have between the two?
I don't know because I haven't pulled it apart yet. I can't cut it open because it's all molded and I'll destroy it. So I'm trying to reverse engineer it and I'm having a problem.
Yeah? Okay, okay.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, the ground is, if they work, if the audio... They're using a ground as one of those leads. You say you have two tip and ring plugs, so you've got two tips and two rings.
one of the sleeves, one of the, tip and sleeve, I guess call it tip and sleeve. One of the sleeves is a grab. One of the other units is a push to talk that will go to ground. One of the, when activated, one of the others is a microphone that goes to ground, and the other one is a audio that would go to ground, if you see what I'm driving at. So, maybe it's just as simple as all that. It doesn't seem to be that way, because when I key the mic, I see a resistance change, but nothing ever goes to ground on any of the leads, so that's what's confusing me.
Yeah, well, if you put a little, take a battery and put it on the, see if you get a click in the earpiece somewhere along the line, you get an idea which is your receiver.
Well, next time I get a chance to play with it, what I think what I'll do is I'll take the receiver apart and see if I can trace that out to the plug, because I think I can open that up.
Yeah, well, even if you couldn't do that, you could try the, like I say, if you get something that gives you a click of the receiver. I know, like with the old telephone headsets, they have those things wired, the U-52 type headsets, they have two tips and two sleeves on those things that we work with. You say each company has its own proprietary way of doing things. Back to NAS, W2JK.
Comment?
Go ahead, comment.
KO2, okay, good evening, everybody. Jim, do you have a model number?
Right now, no. Because I don't own the thing, I was just trying to help somebody with this thing. Maybe when I get a hold of them again, I can get a model number off this thing and see if I can do a search for it and get the schematic. But I thought it was going to be easy, but it's not.
Okay. Can you just describe the plugs again, or the plugs?
If you, like a Motorola handy talkie, or even my Kenwood handy talkie, there's a molded plug with a tip and a ring, okay? The tip has got a contact and a sleeve or whatever you want to call it. So you've got two and two. But they do three functions. You've got your audio for your receive, your audio for your transmit microphone, and you also have a push-to-talk. So they're obviously sharing something. Now, I know the ICOM is different. The microphone that I have with my ICOM HT is different than the remote microphone that I have in my Kenwood. They don't interact. They've done something different. And what I was trying to figure out was, what the heck does Motorola do?
That's all my questions. Back to Ned.
Okay, anybody else have any insights on Jim's problem?
Yeah, if anybody has a schematic of any of those things, k2zo@arrl.net, email me.
Jim, just to clarify, it's a single plug or multiple plugs?
It's a molded plug with two things coming out of it, okay? And each one is a tip and a sleeve, or ring, whatever. In other words, two contacts. They end up with three functions. You've got your receive, you've got your transmitted, and you've got your push-to-talk. And so they're obviously sharing one side of one of the things is a ground and whatever. But when I fooled around with an ohmmeter, all I found with the push-to-talk was a change in resistance, which I thought was confusing.
Okay. Well, I'm going to wander around the Internet, but I've already found Motorola, you know, earpiece with PTT. That's a single, like, mini plug with a tip and a shield. There's just two. There you go. It goes down to that low.
Oh, this is a throat microphone. This is an assembly with a throat microphone that straps around the user's neck. A chest push button, and also another push button that can be wired to a glove or a hand or put on the paintball gun, and a headset that goes in with it too. So what we were trying to do is figure out, for a friend of mine, how to interface these things. Apparently he bought a whole bunch of these things at a pretty good price, and now he can't figure out how to interface them.
Jim? On my ICOM, the audio part is by itself, and I can unplug that double plug, turn it 90 degrees, use just the microphone part. So I only have two there. I have push to talk and the microphone, both in one plug, one pair, a tip and a ring. The other one is actually hanging outside the rig when I do that, so I don't get any audio. The audio is out of the rig.
I have a headset here that works with my ICOM. It doesn't work with my Kenwood, but it does work with my ICOM. And I know what they do there. They isolate the audio with a capacitor, and then they use that same contact for the push to talk.
Possibility, but you're doing in cars a lot, there will be a wire that floats 5 to 8 volts. Anything under 4 volts, it goes one way. In my case, it locks the doors. Anything locks, it doesn't really matter. Anything over 10 volts, and it does the opposite function. So with one pair of wires, they're getting two switching.
That's exactly what these guys are doing here with this.
And they do it by sparing the voltage level.
I think that's what's happening, and because why I see with push to talk, I see a change in resistance. So there's something strange going on there. In other words, when I hit the microphone, the push to talk button, I never see anything go to zero, but I do see a change in resistance, which obviously may mean a state change in as far as voltage go with the voltage divider to make a change.
K2ZC.
Go ahead, ZC.
Yeah, Jim, are the two plugs the same size?
Negative. They're not the same size, so that you can plug it into the side of the radio and get it in the right orientation. They're definitely not the same diameter plugs, but they're both a molded thing spaced about an inch apart with a tip and a sleeve, a tip and a sleeve.
Yeah, okay. When I was working in the post office, we carried HTs. Motorola HTs, and I think one took like an eighth inch jack, audio jack, and the other was what they call the mini jack, or the micro jack, I guess. One's a mini jack and one's a micro jack, and one's your mic and one's your headset, or actually I plugged in speaker mic. I think if you can find a schematic for a speaker mic, it would be identical to what you have there, only yours is a headset.
Okay, well, this is a throat mic, which straps around the user's throat, a chest button that you can hit with your hand and hit the push to talk, and also an additional push to talk, which is a pressure pad, which you put on your paintball gun, or whatever, when they do this paintball stuff. That's what I'm helping the guy do. And the push to talk, when I checked it, changes a resistor somewhere. I'm not sure exactly what it's doing, but I can find nothing that goes to ground when I start searching those contacts.
The push to talk might have transistor switching. It might be switching a transistor to switch to ground.
I don't know. There hasn't been anything inside that I can see. It's pretty simple as far as mechanically, But anyway, it's interesting. But I'll figure it out one of these days. I may end up having to cut this thing open, but I don't want to do that.
Motorola, or go to Yahoo Groups, the one in the Motorola group, and put the question in there.
probably could if I. I'll have to get the model number of this thing and then kind of go from there. But I just thought perhaps somebody may have been familiar with it. Now I know, you know, the ICOM, and I know the Kenwood do it, and they do it differently. They do it with a tip and a sleeve, but yet one won't work and the other, you know.
Suggestion search in Yahoo groups under the name Motorola. Pick a couple that think might be of use to you. Try to sign up now, because it can take up to 2 weeks to join. Don't forget to put your call, whatever your request is, because they'll hook you up with QR set and it'll be much easier to get in. K2BR. Anybody else with a comment? Well, the only other person that had a comment today was Don, W2JEK. Don, over to you.
Okay, thinking of a TechNet, this is something I just saw on the AORL's website. They now have a periodicals archive available for AORL members. And you can go in there and log in things and get a, put in a call sign or a, or a name or whatever. I put in Lauren Wyndham's name and I came with articles he wrote for QSD, going back to the first article, which was the Atlanta father's call in, and he, somehow his call got into a 1970 issue of QSD. Not an article, but it's one of the strays. And then they had it back in the old days, and I got one here from 1922 QSD, page of what they call calls heard. Be able to print that out. So, you know, there's a lot of information sitting in those old archives there. So, being a TechNet, I thought this would be a good thing for everybody to know and also a good incentive if you're not an AORL member to become an AORL member. So, with that, back to net, W2JK.
Thank you. And we should give a hand to Richard and Bill. Hi, Richard, A2CB. They just went over and helped run a couple hundred feet of wire at the Carlstadt OEM. Sat there about 4:30, quarter to 5, and we didn't get out of there. Of course, I got there late. And, of course, I'm not much help. I'm not good at climbing ladders, but there was Richard up in the ladder with a flashlight fired up the ceiling. I wish I should have got a picture, you know, thinking about that. And Bill's up on the other story trying to fish the wire down the elevator. It's not really the elevator shaft, next to the elevator shaft. I'm not even sure if it was a raceway or what. It was lots of fun. We got a lot of dirt knocked on our heads. Anybody else have any questions, comments, anything?
This is KC2TBD, a late sign-in.
Chris Ron, welcome, KC2TBD.
How did you read me?
Well, I know your call by now. You're still, I say you're 80% in, but not the audio that's really loud, but readable. Jim, K2Zeta, what do you think? How would you rate it?
That's fine. No problem. We can hear it.
You know why? I've been on 444.1 and had a hell of a time being heard with Ben. And we worked on the tone, and finally I mean, he's a neighbor of mine in the same town, and one of us was getting the repeater.
Jim, you do realize he's not in a car. That noise you hear is something else.
Oh, I thought he was mobile.
I know he's not in a car because he doesn't drive.
I do drive, but I gave up my car.
Ah, that's what it was. But you're not in the car now, are you?
No, I'm in my house. I put my mobile in the house just for the pleasure of, you know, talking to you guys.
Why do you have all that background noise?
Do you hear a great deal of background noise?
Yep.
Because somebody else told me the same thing. Another repeater, and I don't know why. I have the antenna sitting on a radiator inside of the apartment. Maybe that's the cause of it. sound like you're driving in a car with the windows open, which is why Jim said you were okay the first time, not realizing that you were sitting in your quiet living room. Jim, over to you.
That's exactly true. I thought he was mobile.
The antenna up on a fire escape, and hopefully, you know, the reception will be better, and the all the interference will be out.
I'm going to go for an outside antenna. Are you in a house or an apartment?
I'm in an apartment on the ground floor.
Why don't you come to get night? I'll bring a piece of cable, a chassis plug, and four coat hangers, or a piece of copper wire and four coat hangers, or something, unless Jim can come up with some stiff wire, and we'll make you a nice ground plane.
That's awful nice of you. I'm willing to try anything at this point. I'm frustrated. One problem gets solved and another one comes in. By the way, Paul did a wonderful job on the power supply. I don't have it ducking out on me anymore.
KT2SGF.
Is that you, Rachel?
K2BAR, KC2SGF mobile. Yes, it is.
Welcome to the TechNet. So far, we have a question about a headset that we've been unable to answer. Comment from Don, WCJEK, and everybody else is just listening. Does anybody else have any comments? Rachel, do you have a comment? You go first.
Thank you, N2BAR, KC2SGF. I'm not familiar with the microphone, so I have no comment or recommendation or suggestion. The suggestions that have been made are sound, and I think Jim indicated that he needs to get more details with regard to the rig and or the microphone, and I would concur with that conclusion. With regard to the noise, it definitely sounds like running water in the background or air passing past the window in a car. I think adding a better ground plane, my question would be, is the antenna mounted on a cookie sheet, or is it just sitting on the radiator directly?
That's an interesting suggestion. It should be on a cookie sheet, a broader surface. It's sitting directly on the radiator.
If you could grab a cookie sheet, that would help, because that'll give you a ground plane and it would do it pretty quick.
Well, I'll give it a try. Thank you.
Good evening, Rachel. This is K2ZO. You know, it sounds like you might have a power supply noise problem.
You mean the power supply could give me problems?
Something is modulating your audio. You know, it sounds like you're sitting next to an air conditioner.
It's quite quiet in here, I have to tell you. It's not like I hear anything. That's why I'm a little surprised.
Drop your power. Can you drop the power down?
I'm now on low. Do you hear me now?
But you're still making a repeater, and it's still there. What I was thinking of is that you might be getting at the limit of the power supply, which sometimes dumps a lot of noise. But that's not the case.
Yes, I actually am only on 10 watts. Before I was 25.
Did change somewhat, but it's still there.
Let me tell you, this area of amateur radio is puzzling to me, but I'm enjoying it, and I have a lot of helpers, and I appreciate it. Thank you all.
I'm willing to bet you dollars to donuts that if you took a battery and hooked on a battery, that noise would go away.
Well, I'll give it a try. I could take the 12-volt out of my car now that I'm not using it, giving up the license, and I can give it a try.
You're better off waiting until tomorrow night to go to Fairlawn. I'll bring one of my 33-amp-hour gel cells that we use for various functions, and you can carry it home and use it that way rather than messing around taking your car apart.
All right, I'll wait patiently, I do thank you. I'll give it a try, because I'm so anxious to be able to communicate more than just complaining all the time that I can't seem to get out.
Do you have power poles on your radio power cord?
Do I have what on my power cord?
They call them power poles, and they're red and black and make the really fast, nice connection.
You mean the connection to between the power supply and the transceiver?
That is what I mean.
Yes, I have very good ones on there. I had this put on by Sid.
Then you're all set because we all use the same connection, and that's what's on the battery, two sets of those.
Comment.
Go ahead, Bennett.
Yeah, last transmission or two, that noise went away, or was intermittent, so it could be something else, a mic connection or something. Somebody else could comment.
82CHD, comment. Go ahead, CHD.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was going to say that before. It really sounds to me, because I worked on audio equipment all the time, like either a bad mic preamp, like a FET going south, or something in the mic connections, or the microphone itself, because he's hitting me out of he's hitting the repeater, I think, pretty good. I didn't monitor on input, but I think it's the audio that's messed up. It kind of sounds that way. And the intermittent thing kind of sounds like that to me, like a FET going south. Over.
Yeah, but that's beyond the level of this a little bit. However, he has a great resource that he's a member of Fairlaw, and they have quite a bit of test equipment. Perhaps you could bring your radio in tomorrow. I'll bring the battery. We'll talk to Sid. We'll talk to Paul, whoever's there.
I certainly will. I'll bring it tomorrow with me. I'd appreciate it, all the help I can get.
W2JEK with a question.
Ben done.
Yeah, Ron, I was thinking, how close are you to getting a, do you have a steel or metallic steel rather than an aluminum cookie sheet? If you're using a mag mount antenna on the radiator, I'm just thinking that, I don't know what kind of, just thinking of the radiator, it might not be quite as good as a cookie sheet. So if you had one handy, it would be a good thing to try tonight, even if you have one handy. Back to net.
Oh, okay. Anybody else have any comments, questions, whatever?
KC2CHA with a question, if you will.
Go ahead.
Looking to get a decent data, QSL logging software for HF, for the radio itself, actually. You have to use it at a computer for logging. I don't know who uses what or what's good. And, I've seen a couple of programs, but I have no idea what's one of the better ones to get, or anybody have any comments or ideas on that? Over.
I asked that question about 6 months ago, and I got about 10 different responses. It's like whoever started with something probably tends to go with that one. And also, we had that at the Vera meeting one time. Somebody explained a couple of the different ones. They seem to be orientated whether you want to do contesting or general operation. And I think the person that would use it most would be what, Don or... Yeah. Let's go for Don first.
W2JK,
over to you.
W2JK, no, I don't use a computer for contesting. I think there is a version of CT that we Barry uses for the EHF and field day. Jim K2ZO tell us about that. I think he knows more about it than I do. Back to that.
Over to you, Jim.
Okay, this is K2ZO. Well, the CT is mainly a contest software type thing. N1MN, I think that's what it's called, has a very nice package, so you might do a little search. But if you, do a little search on Google, and I'm sure you're going to find a couple of good ones. But N1MN, I think it's MN, stumbling here, is the one you might want to look at.
K2DSL.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, K2DSL.
K2BAR, K2DSL, joining a little late. It's N1MM, as in Nancy, number one, Mary Mary, and that's really also only used for contesting. So if you want a general purpose logging program, there's a few out there. I happen to use Ham Radio Deluxe, which is free, and it also has a digital component of it for doing PSK and RIDI, and that's called DM780. And that comes with it all as a package. Free download and pretty extensive general logging. Not so great for a contest, but just for general logging, it's free and probably does everything you want. K2BAR.
Thank you, Dave.
Good
morning. Don't forget LOTW, Log of the World. You'll probably want whatever software you have to be able to upload a file in digital format to Log of the World. otherwise, you're going to be doing it by hand. Over to you. Who was it? I forgot who asked the question.
Roger, it's Kate C2THD. Yeah, thanks a lot for all the response, guys, because I had no clue what to look at. I'm not a contester at this point, kind of much a newbie, so I'll look at that Ham Radio Deluxe with DM780. Sounds good for a starting point, and good input on being on the upload to Log of the World. So I'll do some Googling and see what I find. Thanks a lot, guys. KT2THD, back to net.
I have a Ham Radio Deluxe, and it also will allow you to, you know, use the logbook of the world.
Thank you, Harold. Thank you, Jim. Anybody else? This is K2BAR.
Comment, KO2, okay.
Cole Bennett.
If you don't mind getting overloaded, you can also look at eham.net, and they review, people send in their own comments and reviews of logging programs they've used. And there's a number of softwares that people have comments about, so you can also take a look there. So there's lots of free software, some software you can buy. It depends on how complicated and sophisticated you want it to be. So lots of stuff out there. KO2, okay, back to net.
Thank you, Bennett. Anybody else? Oh, question for Jim. How's my audio? I know we had, this is the new radio, and I haven't adjusted it yet. I just talk loud.
5x5.
What can I say? I always talk softly into the other radios because I was blowing everybody away. I had Pete yelling at me for 1985 through 1988, that he could hear my audio, whatever the heck that is, thing in the back of your throat. Oh, well. So I've been talking soft all those years. Now it's hard to talk loud. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody have questions, comments, anything?
How do I sound now with the cookie sheet under my antenna?
Okay, there was a slight double at the beginning. First you go, Ron. Give us a transmission at least 20 seconds.
This is KC2TBD. How do I sound now with a cookie sheet under my antenna?
The same.
All right, that isn't the solution. We'll work it out tomorrow night.
Send me an email reminding me. My call sign at the ARL, so it's N2OEL, @ARL.net. Remind me to bring the battery, and I'll stick a little sticky note on my forehead. Was there anybody that doubled with Ron before?
Who am I?
Yes, Tony.
Just would like to know if we've been talking about Ron's power supply, but Ron, is yours a switcher power supply, or is it a heavy iron power supply? How is it in weight when you pick it up? You may not know the difference between the two, but a switcher would be a lighter metal box. Analog power supply would be one that's got more iron to it. Do you know what type of power supply you've got?
This is a very heavy one. It's a trip light, if I remember correctly.
I think that's the one that I did look at Fairlawn, and it seemed okay there. So, it's, you know, sometimes the switcher power supplies will have noise in them, but you have a regular linear type power supply with pieces of transformer and rectifier and so forth. So I have to outrule the switcher noise. Back to Ned.
I don't remember his, so I saw it there, I just don't remember. You know, we could ask Paul. He's the one that I believe repaired it or adjusted it, whatever. Anybody else have any comments, questions, anything? Got a good one for anybody who's on 2 meters. In my old 7950, whenever I wanted to listen directly to the station talking to me, I just push a button called reverse. This new radio, I cannot find a reverse button. I was online looking. Somebody came up with a suggestion. He says, well, if you got 500 memory channels, you're never going to use them all. So in the 2 meter frequencies on channel 1, you put like 146.79. On channel 2, you put the reverse. So if any time you want to listen to the input of somebody, you turn the knob one click to the right, and you're on the input. And you'll transmit on the output. Anybody have any suggestions, thoughts, or anything on that subject?
Oh, I do the exact same thing, Noel.
Because you also have a modern radio that doesn't have an easily available reverse function.
No, this radio does, but my handy talkie does not. So what I do is I have it just reverse built into the handy talkie. And so I can click over one click over, and there we go.
I often listen to somebody on the input, especially mobile, because I can tell immediately if the person's close or far or whatever. And it's handy. Nowadays, nobody seems to use it at all. Any other questions, comments? Whatever. Okay. Well, I think we talked all the subjects to death. We'll wait for Gordon. Gordon called me. I was in the basement of Sun Chemical. I saw his name flash up. It was about 7:15, 7:30, something like that. The only time he calls me on Thursday nights at this time is when something's wrong and he can't make it to post the net. So I called Tony, and I was on my way home, actually, from ShopRite, just before the net started. That's why Tony started it. Thank you, Tony. And we'll find out from Gordon later on what happened. Anything else? Any questions, comments before we close this?
Can I make a comment about the VHF contest operation?
Go ahead. We're going to do it from home, right? With Bergen ARA?
There will be a station on the air called K2BAR. It'll be operating probably from my basement, and I'll be running a great number of the hours, if not all the contest hours. Definitely not all the contest hours of the contest. Those who are new, there's a VHF contest this coming weekend, starting at 2:00 on Saturday, and running all Saturday, all the way through to 2:00 on, no, I'm sorry, to 11:00 on Sunday night. It's like a 30-hour contest. Frequencies that will be used will be 2 meter frequencies that we're on now, but the simplex frequency, no tone. Typically, we'll probably be, our station will be anchored on 146.570. You might want to write that down and see if you can hear us, simplex, and put your call and your grid square. If you don't know your grid square, go to your QRZ database, and they have your grid square under your call. Generally around this area, it's FM 20. We also will be using a 440 frequency. That's 440, 446, 000. Simplex, no tone. You'll be listening to that frequency also. And these are two common frequencies that people have right now in their own handy talkies or their own mobile radios. And Vera would appreciate any contacts that we can make, even the simplex contacts. However, you should also make contacts on with some other stations, one or two other logs besides Barrett's log in this province. We'll be operating on 6 meters, but not in the FM portion. We'll be operating somewhere around 50.140 in that area, probably not down as low as 120 because it's pretty crowded down there, but the 6 meter, the upper side band portion of the band starts at 50.100 and goes to about 50.140. And as far as activity goes, there are people outside that range, but activity is generally in that area. but it'll be sideband, upper sideband. We'll be operating in that area, and we'll be operating with a pretty nice signal, so you should be able to hear us. And last but not least, we also be operating on 2500 FM. Aren't too many stations that have sideband on 222, but look for us on 223.500, and 223.500. In fact, we'll be listening on that FM portion of the band. Fenway, the other areas can be heard if they can all the area. Even though, quote, there's no sunspots, you'll be amazed at how much they become 2 meters also. And drop it again. Some stations operating 2 meter sideband and 432 sideband and 222 sideband. I'm only ignoring those because most people don't have sideband radios. Modern radios cover a number of frequencies. A secondary choice between meters might be 2 meters, 144.200, or 100 to 200 in that area. That you'll find upper sideband to be operating again in that area also. We'll be operating FM and sideband on all bands except to be operating upper sideband. Thank you for the admission, and hopefully we'll be able to make contact with some of the Solera. Any questions? I'll stand by for any questions. Silky, thank you very much, and we'll see you hopefully on the air sometime between 2 o'clock Saturday and 11 o'clock Sunday night.
After I get back from the dentist, perhaps I could give you a call on your landline to see about coming over. I think it will declare the net formally closed. This is Into Oyo in Maywood, New Jersey, operating as K2BR. I'm saying the net's closed. The repeater is to return to normal operation. Have a great evening, everybody.